1 p.m. The Friday evening event will take place at PCC Cascade, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland, and the Saturday and Sunday events will take place at the Native American Youth and Family Center, 5135 Northeast Columbia Boulevard in Portland. This year's festival features some of the Northwest's most gifted tribal tellers, tribal drumming and singing, an opening prayer, and a silent auction. This event is a benefit for the Northwest Indian Storytellers Association. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This Friday, tune in to KBOO all day for News and Public Affairs Day. Speakers include Thomas Lindsay on local democracy, Kathleen Dean Moore on climate activism, Angela Davis on feminism and abolition, and Bill McKibben on action and strategies for saving the planet.
12% of Americans said they were willing to commit civil disobedience to stop climate change. If that's even close to true, then we have a good chance in this fight.
That's News and Public Affairs Day this Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. here on KBOO Community Radio.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and heard on the web at www.kbu.fm. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Portland Japanese Garden, celebrating its 50th anniversary with the Wakaro Brothers, the Bashio Nida, the three-stringed sumurai on the shamisen, Wednesday, October 16th at the Portland Art Museum's Grand Ballroom. Tickets and information at pam.spotlightboxoffice.com. And now stay tuned for the KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, Oregon Worker Rights Coalition joins a Portland high school in protest.
The latest in the U.S. government shutdown heats up in today's Senate hearing.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, October 15th, 2013. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member. Call 877-500-5266. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Nat Parker. Nationwide protests calling for better wages and benefits for fast food workers took place today in Southeast Portland. A local worker rights coalition joined forces with a student group from Cleveland High School to demand justice for workers near their school. KBOO's Jamie Partridge was there and brings us this report.
No burgers, no fries. We want our wages supervised.
Jamie Partridge, KBOO News. I'm here standing outside of the McDonald's on the 27th and Powell. Why this McDonald's?
McDonald's of many McDonald's across the country that are not paying their workers enough to where they can live on. So that's why this McDonald's is, might be any McDonald's.
And what is the demand here today?
The demand is people who serve food to the people in this country and that it can't go home often and to put food on their own tables or have to struggle to do so should be paid a living wage and should not be paid so little that they have to depend on public assistance vis-a-vis food stamps or subsidies for apartments, for rent.
So we're talking with Rob Sisk. Rob, what's your position here?
I'm a statewide president for SEIU 503 OPEU.
You're holding a sign, sir, that says Fight for 15. Can you tell us what that's about?
The basic or minimum wage should be about $15 an hour just to make it. It's not a great amount of money, and these corporations that run these franchises have to understand that sooner or later they're going to pay the $15 an hour because their workers cannot survive, and the government is getting a little tired of picking up the support that these guys should be giving their workers. So we have a dual problem here. We have the government has to give them food stamps because they don't make enough money. The minimum wage of $89 an hour, it is absolutely outrageous. We are the only civilized nation in the world that is got the award for being stupid.
Who am I talking to now?
I'm Joe Walsh, representing Individuals for Justice.
And what do you say to the argument from the business sector that they can't afford $15 an hour, that it'll just end up laying people off and damaging the very workers you're trying to help?
Well, they said that at $3 an hour, $5 an hour, $6 an hour, $7 an hour, $8. These guys are still making a lot of business. There's a lot of cars going in there, and I don't think they're going broke. So what they do is they lie. They just say, oh, it's going to break us, and it's not. All the economists will tell them that if you pay your employees a livable wage, they will buy other things, the economy will grow, and your business will go through the roof. It's terrific. Instead of 15, maybe they ought to give them like $5 bonus, maybe 20 bucks an hour.
I want to introduce Ian and Elijah from Cleveland.
Hi, my name's Ian. I'm a Cleveland, a student at Cleveland High School. I think it's so important that the students came out today because this is the world that we're going into. And we're coming into these low wages. They're not living wages. And we demand that not only do we need a $15 an hour minimum wage, but all of these workplaces need to be unionized and organized so we can fight for things more than a living wage.
My name's Elijah. I'm a student at Cleveland. And the fact is we are entering an industrialized workforce with our food, with our goods, with everything. And the fact is that we have industrialized the food we make, the food we harvest, the food we produce, and we are using our workers as machines to serve the food. And this needs to stop. We need to reiterate that we are human beings and we deserve to be treated like human beings.
Full emergency shelters continue to turn people away in Oregon, some of whom end up homeless rather than return to situations of domestic violence. Affordable housing advocates say they're pitching in to help. They say the state also could be doing more to fund such efforts. For more on the story, here's KBOO News reporter Genevieve McDaniel with Jane Downing from Mid Valley Women's Crisis Center and Jim Moorfield with Willamette Neighborhood Housing Services.
It's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and again this year there isn't enough emergency shelter for the numbers of people who need it in Oregon. At the Mid-Valley Women's Crisis Center in Salem, requests for emergency housing have doubled in the past 4 years. But state funding remains at the same level as in 2007, and the legislature turned down a request for more money earlier this year. Jane Downing, Mid-Valley's executive director, says state dollars are only part of a shelter's budget, but a very important part.
I think it sends a critical message of saying we understand that this is an issue in our community and we're going to address it. We're going to take it on and make sure that there are the resources so no one has to live with violence.
As many as 6 in 10 women who are homeless have been affected by domestic violence. Their advocates say Oregon State Homeless Assistance Program and the Emergency Housing Account both have worked well, but are chronically underfunded. They'll ask for an additional $2 million a year for the programs in the coming legislative session. In some areas, affordable housing developers have teamed up with emergency shelter providers to transition more families out of packed shelters and into more permanent housing. In Corvallis, Jim Moorfield with Willamette Neighborhood Housing Services says 10% of the housing they develop is set aside specifically for people who are homeless.
The quality of the housing, the affordability of it, has everything to do with people's ability to get by and to thrive and to build new lives. When you have someone who's homeless, who's a survivor of domestic violence, a lot of things have to come together to make that person and that family successful.
This is Genevieve McDaniel with KBOO News.
Into metered and hourly parking, thanks to a total of 9,000 signatures. On Monday, the Salem City Council voted to eliminate time limits on parking and to do away with parking meters. This decision comes after 9,000 signatures were collected from residents and non-residents, and those of 9,000, 6,000 of the signatures were those of Salem residents, and the other 3,000 were non-residents. The signatures were collected from a group that is titled Stop Parking Meters in Downtown Salem. The initiative to collect the signatures was approved by the City Council.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced hour-long newscast every night. So now we're asking you to do the same. Call 877-500-5266. And now Jimmy and Dan are back to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Well, we're still here, as a matter of fact. Hey, listen, pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266. We'll say that number again 37 times before this break is over with, but we want you to know it by heart. We want it across the forehead so that you know. Or go online to kboo.fm. And there you can join and become a part of the great KBOO community. Jimmy, you've got something in your hand. What do you have there?
Well, I want to say thanks to Joseph up in Yakult, Washington. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm sure I'll hear about it if I'm not. He's a renewing member. He called. He got that shirt. $75. That's all it took. And he's stepping up his game. He's pitching in. He's helping to make this happen. Local news, especially volunteer-produced local news, is where it's at, folks. This is the wave of the media of the future, and KBOO has been ahead of the curve for 45 years now. This is the way that things are headed, and the reason that they're headed that way is because people are tired of the consolidation of media into these mega corporations, and everywhere you go, you get the same superficial, tepid, meaningless message that if it's not full of lies, then it's definitely full of half-truths. Here at KBOO, we are doing this because we want to do this. We have a passion for this. And so we're reaching out to you now there, out there, listeners, because you're tuned in, you're listening, you are already part of this family. Now we need you to step up your game and increase your investment in what's happening here at KBOO. The way you do that is you call 877-500-5266. You make a donation, a pledge. $5 a month gets you a sustaining membership, which keeps us rolling. That's all it takes.
Absolutely. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266.
Parts of New York City are still damaged after Superstorm Sandy caused major flooding last year. Two unlikely volunteers showed up recently to help fix some of the mess. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter and his wife Rosalyn were in New York recently to help the charity Habitat for Humanity do a little rebuilding. It's part of the former president's decades-long involvement with the organization, which began in New York back in 1984. Pacifica Radio's Quinn Bowman reports.
The Mascot Flats apartment building on Manhattan's Lower East Side was in bad shape back then. That's when President Jimmy Carter, then out of office, helped rebuild it as part of his decades-long involvement with Habitat for Humanity.
I was a jogger in those days, and I jogged out here to take a look at this site, and it was a horrible mess. There was a six-story building behind us. You could stand on the second floor if you could get up there, and you could look up and see the sky. The garbage was more than knee-deep. There were fires that people were living on.
Some of the same people still live in the renovated building some 30 years later. It was President Carter and his wife Rosalind's first project for the Christian charity. This year, the organization is taking on an even bigger challenge. New York City is still reeling from the effects of Hurricane Sandy. Last year, flooding in particular devastated homes and neighborhoods across the city and New Jersey. President Carter was on hand to help out. The Carters spent 2 hours building a deck at a home in Queens, which had been vacant for years. President Carter, now 89 years old, did plenty of the work himself. The next stop was Union Beach, New Jersey, where the husband and wife team rebuilt a number of homes still left demolished nearly a year after the storm. some 500 families from Union Beach remain without a roof over their heads. The Carters were in New York to celebrate the 30th Carter Work Project. More than 1,000 volunteers helped repair homes damaged by the storm, as well as rehabilitate vacant ones. They're just some of the 3,000 volunteers who've helped out with the Carter Work Project across the United States in recent days. One volunteer recalls the lingering effects of the superstorm.
Everybody thinks of a hurricane as being wind and rain and stuff, but this time it was really all about the water. You know, I was out on Fire Island, I was out in Breezy Point. It's just total devastation. I mean, people having 4 to 5 feet of water in their houses and having the entire neighborhoods, you know, completely submerged. The devastation from a flood is just a long-term recovery.
Hurricane Sandy's estimated $65 billion U.S. dollar price tag makes it the second costliest disaster in American history, second only to 2005's Hurricane Katrina. The federal government is spending a large chunk of that money to rebuild commercial areas and homes, but more work remains. With the help of volunteers like the Carters, at least some of the affordable housing need created by the storm will be met. Quinn Bowman, New York.
Talks about raising the debt ceiling in Washington, D.C. continue to be an issue to keep the U.S. government shut down. Congress refuses to come to a compromise due to Obamacare, with the Senate putting negotiations of a possible compromise on hold while Republicans in the House tried to float a plan of their own that the White House called an attempt to appease the Tea Party. For more on this story, Pacifica Radio's Alice Olstein has more.
Competing proposals to end the government shutdown and prevent a default on the nation's debt were the subject of marathon closed-door meetings Tuesday on Capitol Hill. A plan from the Senate, crafted Monday night by Republican and Democratic Party leaders, met criticism from the upper chamber's far-right members, who thought it didn't make enough changes to the Affordable Care Act, and from progressive members like Vermont Independent Bernie Sanders.
We have reached an agreement which is not a particularly good agreement. It only extends the budget for another 3.5 months, which is pretty crazy to my mind. And the idea that we're only extending the debt ceiling for another 4.5 months is really not good at all. But the alternatives are worse. So my hope is that we can get this passed and that our colleagues in the House will do the same, and we can put our people back to work and prevent a national and international financial crisis.
But the Republican-controlled House is refusing to take up the Senate compromise, and leaders are instead pushing their own version that keeps the same timeline but tacks on a 2-year delay of the health care reform law's medical device tax and denies insurance subsidies to members of Congress, the president, and his cabinet. They're also considering denying the subsidies to their own staffers, some of whom are paid little enough to qualify for a generous subsidy. The White House released a statement calling the move, quote, a partisan attempt to appease a small group of Tea Party Republicans, while House Democrats speculated that it wouldn't garner enough votes to pass. House Speaker John Boehner told reporters Tuesday he was still unsure of his next step.
There are a lot of opinions about what direction to go. There have been no decisions about what exactly we will do. But we're going to continue to work with our members on both sides of the aisle to try to make sure that there's no issue of default and to get our government reopened.
As negotiations stalled in both chambers of Congress, a group of interfaith clergy members from across the country marched from lawmaker office to lawmaker office to pray for them to immediately reopen the government and restore funding for programs that help the nation's most vulnerable people.
Move the spirit of the Speaker of the House. We may be able to have a continuing resolution, that we might be able to see poor people back to work.
That's Reverend J. Herbert Nelson with the Presbyterian Church's Office of Public Witness. He said living in D.C., he's seen more corruption and gridlock following the massive infusion of money into politics following the 2010 Supreme Court Citizens United decision, and says he has a message now for Congress.
Their alliance and allegiance has to be to the people who elected them and not to these corporate structures that have been infusing cash into these campaigns. We have to begin to see government for the people, of the people, by the people, and not government for the rich, but people who want tax breaks and who influence congressional leaders unduly.
The Treasury Department says the House and Senate must pass a bill to raise its borrowing limit by midnight on Thursday to avoid a default on the country's sovereign debt. A default has never before happened in U.S. history, but economists and government officials say it could trigger a global recession. In Washington, I'm Alice Olstein.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. And joining us now are Jimmy and Dan to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Nat. Dan, did you notice that the government was shut down? Did you notice that the government's been on an extended holiday here lately? You may not have noticed because it may not really have that much direct effect on your daily life. But I tell you what, folks, the reason that the government is quote-unquote shut down is because of the withholding of funding. And that's why we're here today to ask you, don't mimic the hissy fit that the Tea Party is having over the Affordable Care Act. Don't withhold funding from KBOO, because I'm going to tell you something. A little bit of personal story here. I came to Portland from Alabama. And let me tell you what it sounds like on the progressive stations in Alabama. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Silence. It's not there. And if you don't appreciate what you have here in Portland, go spend some time in Alabama, folks. There's public radio there, sure. Canned, mainstream, toeing-the-line stories that are telling you what somebody wants you to hear. They run a thread through everything, and basically, it's tepid. There's no passion there. There's really nothing happening there. But that's not the case here at KBOO. I can testify from personal experience what's going on down here, because you, the listener, have made it possible for me to spend the last 2 years getting my fingers in every aspect of what's happening down at this station. Now is your chance to get your fingers on the phone. Pick it up, dial 877-500-5266, expels KBOO, K-B-O-O. You know it, you love it, now's the time to show it. KBOO.FM, we're waiting for you, folks. We got gifts to give you to show our appreciation directly right back to you. And then the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to remain open for business.
Hey, right now we have to take the time to thank folks for providing food for us. Delfina's Bakery at 4636 Northeast 42nd Avenue, Teriyaki Town at 4434 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, and Hot Lips Pizza at 1432 Southeast 22nd Avenue. And thank you very much. Pick up the phone right now. Jimmy is right. We need your help. We need your support. We need to expand this community. 877-500-5266, 877-5266, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. That's, we've got folks waiting to answer the phone and to take your information and get you set up, whether you're renewing your membership or whether you're a first-time listener and you want to be a part of the great KBOO community. 45 years of great KBOO community radio here in Portland, and we're still here. You think about some of the other places that squawked and hollered real loud, and they are no longer here, but we are, my friend. Pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266. Let's go back to the news. No. Oh, we get to talk to you for a little bit.
That's
more.
Right.
Okay, she kept doing that. Yeah. So. All right. You know, I want to bring something up that's really important. Do you know that $5 a month is only $60 a year, and you can have your name as a part of the KBOO community by that simple amount of money, dedicating it? And we've got some fine thank you gifts, as Jimmy was talking about a little bit ago. One of them is that Palante live concert on October, what is that, 23rd?
That is Sunday, October 20th. It's 6:30 to 10 p.m. live 9-piece salsa and Latin jazz band. Nick Geffro reunited his old band. Not only is he going to provide you some outstanding music, but they're going to give you a lesson beforehand so that you can show them what you got out there on the dance floor. But now is the time for you to show us what you got in that checkbook. You've been scrimping, you've been saving. Now's the time to put those funds to good use. You can send it our way, and I promise you that we're going to take it and we're going to squeeze every little bit of power out of that that you give us, because that's what that is. That is your monetary power. That is the way that you keep this community going. That is the way that you energize the entire Willamette Valley. We're reaching out into Mount Hood. We're down in Salem.
Oh, yeah, Salem, Corvallis, we're everywhere, my friends. Listen, one other thing, very quickly, we talked about this early on. For your $250 gift, we'd like to give you the Simon Benson Awards dinner ticket. Two of those would run you $500. We want your support. And Anderson Cooper is the guest speaker that night. Great event. So pick up the phone, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. Again, that's 877-500-5266.
Now back to the news.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. You know, you can call any time to renew your membership or to become a member. The number is 877-500-5266. Stay tuned now for Out Loud after this evening newscast. Tonight, Out Loud welcomes Candace Brings Plenty Wright, a member of the Portland Spirit Group. They'll discuss Native Americans in the queer community. At 7, Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Tonight, Hard Knock Radio revisits a 2007 lecture on political change from Harry Belafonte in Oakland, California. Tomorrow's weather, high around 65 after patchy morning fog.
The time is 5:28, and time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Whacking yourself on the head with a ball-peen hammer would be stupid, but doing it again and again? That's insane. Welcome to your U.S. House of Representatives, presently led by a pack of Tea Party Republicans. They're so crazed by Obamacare that they repeatedly hammer themselves over the head with it, having voted 46 times so far to dismantle, defund, delay, deny, and otherwise destroy this landmark health care bill, all to no avail. They would be hilarious were they not so pathetic. But now their anti-government, anti-Obama obsession has turned into insanity. Acting as though the USA is nothing more substantial than a banana republic, this Tea Party clique of petty potentates forced a shutdown of our national government. The craziest part of their stunt is the duplicitous claim that finally providing health care for millions of uninsured Americans will have, as one leader of the Mad Dog Pack put it, horrific effects. Yet, even as they publicly insist that they're heroes for trying to save the people from the horror of receiving fairly decent health coverage, the GOP hierarchy is quietly warning its members that defeating Obamacare now is essential to their own political health. Why? Because they know the program will work, providing better care and nearly universal coverage at a cheaper price. It will become widely popular, and any politico who tries to kill it later will become wildly unpopular. Even the senator from Oz, Ted Cruz, understood that the program had to be aborted before it was born. It will be so loved, Cruz candidly conceded as he desperately tried to suffocate Obamacare with a painfully long filibuster, that the public will be hooked on it for the long haul. This is Jim Hightower saying, yes, Senator Oz, the American people tend to support policies that are beneficial to them. Hey, How crazy is that?
If you'd like more of Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to hightowerlowdown.org.
Over the weekend, Ranger Jennifer Jackson at Olympic National Park outside Port Angeles, Washington, issued three tickets to visitors. The ranger said the tickets were issued for, quote, violation of closure, unquote, and were a total amount of $125. Olympic National Park has been closed since October 1st when the government shutdown went into effect. One of the people issued a ticket was a sixth-grade teacher in Port Angeles on a drive with a group of international students from Peninsula College. They were stopping to take a picture and go on a hike when Ranger Jackson pulled up and started issuing tickets to the teacher and two other drivers that were already there. Ranger Jackson, who's not paid during the government shutdown, said that the tickets can be appealed in federal court.
In the midst of the government shutdown, the service and resources continue to be made available for corporations, keeping a larger portion of the public out of decision-making. KBOO's Robin Ryan spoke with William Snape, senior counsel for the Center of Biological and Disease Control, about a letter sent to the public lands.
I'm talking with William Snape. He is the senior counsel for the Center for Biological Diversity, and they have forwarded a bit of correspondence to the Department of Interior. Can you share with our listeners what it was that you wanted to say?
I'd be happy to. We have sent a notice letter of intent to sue and go to federal court over the Department of Interior's continuing to issue oil and gas and mining and forestry permits to big corporations, despite the fact that the general public have been locked out of these same lands. And under a statute called the Anti-Deficiency Act, it is illegal for an agency to engage in those types of extractive activities when, as in here, there is no money to appropriate. There's no money in the budget except for essential purposes, yet the department continues to utilize money for oil, gas, forestry, and mining activities. So we told the Interior, you must stop.
And there's next to no oversight over these activities during the shutdown. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is according to the Department of Interior itself. In fact, one of the more outrageous and egregious examples of the Department of Interior's lawlessness here was that their offshore oil office literally admitted in the public that they were going to continue to process new oil and gas permits offshore, but they did not have enough resources to do environmental review for them. That is actually what spurred this letter, and then once we looked at the offshore areas, we realized that the same things were happening on BLM lands and that, quite tragically, it could be happening on National Park Service and National Wildlife Refuge lands. Some of this information is very hard to get now because many of those offices, of course, are actually closed. But these oil and gas activities, by all accounts, including by the agency itself, continue to occur.
So transnational corporations continue to enjoy the services of the government and the resources of the nation, but the people do not.
That is correct. It speaks for itself. It's a sad commentary.
On October 3rd, there were many reports out about 3 million acres of public land which were identified as disposable and announced as for sale in 10 states, and Oregon is among them. Peter DeFazio is on the subcommittee that has authority here. Can you share your assessment of the Congress member's track record on matters like this?
Well, Congressman DeFazio is actually now the ranking member, which means he's the top Democrat on the entire House Natural Resources Committee. We have problems with selling off 3 million acres of public lands. We don't think under existing law, the National Environmental Policy Act, the public land statutes, we don't think that's a good idea. Mr. DeFazio's record has been quite mixed on conservation issues. On things like wolf conservation, he's good and he's strong. On issues relating to logging and to clear cutting on public lands, his record is clearly not as strong. I am actually not exactly clear on where Mr. DeFazio stands on this 3 million acre sell-off. I can tell you this. Under no circumstances should the agency be moving ahead on those sales during the government shutdown. That would be clearly a violation of this Anti-Deficiency Act, and it's probably a bad idea in general anyway. If we're going to have this shutdown, and it impacts all Americans' access to public lands, big corporations should not have special access. And it seems to me that the Obama administration needs to put an end to it. If they don't put an end to it, we will be in federal court. We will gain a writ of mandamus. We will gain an injunction. And we'll make sure that the public lands are truly being managed for the public. It really is disturbing to see the level of activity going on public lands when the public itself is shut out.
I've been talking with William Snape from the Center for Biological Diversity. For KBOO News, this is Robin Ryan.
Rejected challenges to the Environmental Protection Agency to limit carbon pollution from vehicles and other sources. Earlier today, KBOO's Sequoyna Wright spoke with John Walk, the Clean Air Director and Senior Attorney for the National Resources Defense Council, about the Supreme Court decision.
What does this decision mean?
The Supreme Court today upheld EPA's climate science that greenhouse gas pollution is harmful to people and the climate. The justices also upheld greenhouse gas pollution standards for automobiles. The Supreme Court was asked by about half a dozen very conservative states and the oil industry and power industry to overturn EPA standards for automobiles and the finding that greenhouse gas pollution endangers health and welfare. Fortunately, the justices declined to do so. The court did, however, accept an appeal of the question whether a permitting program under the Clean Air Act covers greenhouse gas pollution. In the grand scheme of today's announcement, however, that is a narrow issue, and it pales in comparison to the quite positive decisions to uphold the regulation of greenhouse gas pollution under the Federal Clean Air Act.
What was Natural Resource Defense Council? What was their argument with the Supreme Court?
The Natural Resources Defense Council joined EPA and many public health groups and supportive states to argue that the Supreme Court should not hear any of these cases, because the lower court rulings were correct in finding that greenhouse gas pollution is harmful, that it should be regulated from cars, and that it should be regulated under a federal permitting program for major industrial polluters. So the Natural Resources Defense Council joined the side of the government in seeking to uphold this set of carbon pollution regulations.
Okay. And how will environmental regulations be affected by the government shutdown? I mean, could the government shutdown have an effect in terms of how to, you know, regulate the Clean Air Act?
The government shutdown in Washington is already having a profound and harmful effect on the protection of health and the environment, with all of the workers from EPA sent home and prohibited from coming to work. The same being true for the Interior Department and the National Park Service. We know now, too, that state agencies are sending workers home because they're not getting the resources they need from federal agencies to monitor pollution, to enforce environmental laws, or to inspect facilities that are heavy polluters and might be breaking the law. So as we move into the middle of the second week of the shutdown, there are articles and reports several times a day about polluting activities that are not going inspected, enforcement cases that are not going prosecuted, and potential harmful pollution that is being released without any government oversight or enforcement.
With this Supreme Court's rejection of the EPA authority, What's next?
Well, fortunately, the Supreme Court left in place positive rulings from a lower court that EPA can continue to regulate car pollution that contributes to climate change and use an array of other tools under the Clean Air Act to combat climate change pollution. What happens next is for the narrow question that the court decided to entertain sometime in early 2014, EPA's permitting rules could still be upheld by the justices. The justices could overturn those permitting rules, in which case all the other authorities of the Clean Air Act would still be available to control carbon pollution. So we'll just have to wait to see how the legal papers are written, how the oral argument goes sometime next year, and await a ruling from the justices probably by the beginning of the summer in 2014.
Well, thank you, Mr. John Watt, Clean Air Director and Lawyer for the Natural Resource Defense Council. You have been listening to KBOO Portland Evening News. Thank you very much for your commentary on this.
And I thank you for having me on this evening.
That was Sequoyah Wright. Two more members of Greenpeace's Arctic Sunrise team were denied bail by a Russian court today. The court denied a request for bail by Greenpeace activists Christian D'Alessandro and Frank Hewitson and Arctic Sunrise captain Peter Wilcox. 30 people, comprising crew, activists, and journalists, were seized by Russian authorities on September 18th during a peaceful protest of drilling for oil in the Arctic. These people, known as the Arctic 30, have been charged with piracy and were placed into pretrial detention pending their November 24th trial date. Since then, the Russian court has heard appeals of the protracted detention from 11 members and has denied them all. The Dutch government has initiated an arbitration against Russia under the United Nations Convention of the Law of the Sea for its seizure of the Arctic 30.
Now is your chance to show your support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. And now joining us are Jimmy and Dan to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio. Oops, no it isn't, it's Ani.
And Dan.
Hey. Well, we're here no matter who you are.
And we're with you.
And that's right. And I want to bring up something that we haven't talked about, at least in this last hour and three quarters segment. You wonder oftentimes what you get as a part of the KBOO community. Well, let me tell you, one of the things you get is 23,652,000 commercial-free minutes of radio and counting. That's a lot of revenue that we don't collect. And what it does mean is that we're able to bring you the kind of news, the kind of programming, the types of events that you want and that you want to listen to and that you want to be a part of. That means that if you want to continue that, you need to renew your membership. Pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. Now, dear sweet little Ani has joined us at the table.
It's been so long since anyone's called me that, Dan.
Well,
but that's nice. It's, and I appreciate
I'm,
it.
I'm,
nice.
I'm making up for those terse things that I said a little while ago.
Well, we do want to hear from you right now as supporters of the evening news. Dan mentions the 23 million commercial-free minutes and counting. Well, we are able to bring you commercial-free radio because, in fact, we are listener-supported. This is how it works. It's 45 years of listener-supported, volunteer-powered, independent media. That is KBOO, and it's not just sort of one of those things you get to watch and stand passively by and just sort of consume and listen. No, we want your active participation. We want you to be a part of this community because this community feels really good, first of all. And second of all, it really does need your support to continue. It's that simple. You sort of fill in that gap. We are the community radio station. You are the community that supports us. 877 800-500-5266. That's the number to call. You can join us online at kboo.fm. However you choose to do it, you might stop by 20 Southeast 8th on your way home this afternoon. It's a beautiful afternoon. Stop by, get a tour of the station, find the folks that make the radio, and see how you are a part of this organization. The easiest thing for you to do right now is to dial 877-500-5266. Join KBOO today.
An urgent investigation has been called for by Amnesty International, a human rights group, regarding the hundreds of deaths in a Nigerian detention center. The detainees, most thought to be linked to the extremist Islamic militant group Boko Haram, died from suffocation, gunshot wounds sustained during interrogation, and starvation. There have been a reported 950 deaths that happened in military custody in the first 6 months of this year alone. The militant group Boko Haram is trying to overthrow the Nigerian government to create another Islamic state. A correspondent to the BBC News stated that the investigation is unlikely to occur.
And now the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, October 15, 2013. United Nations reports continued Israeli violations against detained children, and the army frees shipments to Gaza. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, has reported that the Israeli violations against detained Palestinian children are still ongoing, despite an alleged Israeli decision to improve their conditions and the methods of interrogation. It is said that Tel Aviv took steps to address some of the issues of concerns outlined in a report that was released back in March of this year. The March report indicated that the detained Palestinian children face systematic mistreatment. The UNICEF said that despite its earlier report, violations against detained children are still ongoing, despite the 38 recommendations that outline these violations and the manner to address them. The report hoped that Israel would improve the ill treatment of children and start treating the children within international standards. In other news, Israeli officials froze the delivery of construction materials into the Gaza Strip following army's discovery of 1.7-kilometer-long tunnel connecting Gaza to Israel. Israeli military official Guy Evnar cited security reasons to justify the recent freeze in construction materials. The army blames Hamas, a fundamentalist Palestinian resistance movement, for the construction of the tunnel. Since Israel's blockade on the Gaza Strip began in 2007, Palestinians have used underground tunnels to smuggle products into Gaza, including building materials. Following the Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood's fall from power, the Egyptian army destroyed tunnels connecting Egypt to the border town of Rafah. The Israeli military attributed the tunnels to terror groups, meanwhile failing to address the six-year blockade's role in decreasing the standards of living for Gaza's 1.7 million residents and increasing unemployment and poverty rates in the coastal region. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Tuesday, October 15th, 2013 News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
A former Halliburton manager has pled guilty to the ordering the destruction of computer records relating to the explosion on April 20th, 2010, at the Deepwater Horizon rig, resulting in the largest oil spill in U.S. history. Anthony Badalamenti of Katy, Texas, faces a one-year prison sentence and a $100,000 fine, although he will most likely serve probation or six-month prison sentence at the most. His sentencing is set for January 21st, 2014. British Petroleum and the rig operator, Transocean, have already pled guilty to other charges relating from the disaster. The 2010 accident killed 11 workers and spilled almost 5 million barrels of oil into the sea. Last month, in a separate plea agreement for Halliburton, a federal judge required them to pay a $200,000 fine for Badalamenti's conduct. Halliburton agreed to be on a three-year probation and to make a $55 million contribution to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, although that payment was not a specified condition of the deal.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Genevieve McDaniel, Rose Lynn Scott, and Robin Ryan. The producer is Sequoia Wright. Special thanks to Jamie Partridge and Alice Olstein from Pacifica. Engineering is Sequoia Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website, kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Nat Parker. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, host Lisa Loving speaks with Timothy Mitchell about his new book, Carbon Democracy: Political Power in the Age of Oil, and how oil undermines democracy and our ability to address the environmental crisis. And at 9, hear our special 3-hour program on the politics of austerity, a dangerous and deadly policy. We'll hear interviews with Mark Blythe, author of Austerity: The History of a Dangerous Idea, Robert Kuttner, author of Debtor's Prison: The Politics of Austerity Versus Possibility, Sanjay Basu, co-author of The Body Economic: Why Austerity Kills, and Ellen Brown, author of The Public Bank Solution: From Austerity to Prosperity. Coming up next at 6 is Out Loud, but first we go back to Dan and Jimmy to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
And we are back. Thank you very much for listening to us for nearly the last 2 hours. Thanks for listening all day long. We have two folks that we want to especially thank: Mary, who is a new listener from Corvallis, and Nan, who is renewing her membership, is from Southeast Portland. To thank you to both of you, we give you a great big thank you. You too can be a part of the great KBOO community by simply picking up the phone, dialing 877-500-KBOO or 5266. That's 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm, and there you'll just follow the links. It'll say join now, and you just keep clicking, and in a matter of just a few short minutes, you too will be a part of the great KBOO community, celebrating 45 years of great community radio right here in Portland. That's a real achievement, Jimmy, a real achievement.
That's right. And it's not just a matter of it's been 45 years. It's been a matter of 45 years of bringing you stories exclusively, or you heard it here first on the KBOO Evening News, Brandon Mayfield winning a settlement against the U.S. government for false targeting under the USA Patriot Act. We bring you the voices of the homeless vigil to end the camping ban that's been outside City Hall coming up on 2 years now. The opening of the Center for Alternatives for Sex Workers. Farm workers petition against Whole Foods, where they were trying to ask Whole Foods to unionize. Tenants standing up against evictions throughout Portland. You might be a regular listener who tunes in each morning to hear your favorite shows. You might be only tune in once a month. But you support KBOO's mission and vision as a grassroots, community-based, locally funded hub for news, public affairs, and music. We're bringing you stuff from our passion. That's our power. And what we're asking you to do right now is pick up that phone and share your power with us. It requires economic power besides the passion. And the way that you do that now is you call 877-500-5266 and you donate. You become a sustaining member. You support your community through KBOO. Sequoia, she's dying to say something.
I am. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to our evening news. I help produce news, Tuesday news, every week, and I help board op it. And I can't do this without you guys. We need your support right now by dialing 1-877-500-5266 or go into the donate jar on the website at www.kboo.fm and donating your hard-earned dollars for a hard-working community radio that is KBOO. And I hope that you enjoy every week listening Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 6 o'clock when we work very hard to bring you all the news that you don't always get in commercial media. So why don't you support us and help us continue to bring you those hard-hitting news stories that you don't always get, and that you don't always get in terms of the way that we try to bring it to you as honest and as raw as possible. Help us out. Go to kboo.fm. Click on that donate jar and donate your hard-earned dollars and cents today, right now. Or you can call 1-877-500-5266 as well. You know, and I come here every week. I'm here 3 days out of the week donating my time, volunteering, and doing the work that I love doing. And I don't get paid for it. None of us get paid for it. Nobody's here getting paid to do what we love. So help us continue to do what we love by dialing 1-877-500-5266. What do y'all think?
That's right. And we are so close to our goal. We're only $50 short of our goal. That's less than $5 a month, folks. So what I need you to do, somebody's got $50 extra tucked away. They've been looking for a good cause to use it for. Now is the time. Keep this momentum rolling. We're having an excellent pledge drive because the community is standing up and saying, we support KBOO. We want to keep this locally produced newscast, music, public affairs, local. It's local, folks. And we need your help to do it right here in the Portland area, 877-500-5266.
That's absolutely correct. And no matter what your comfort level might be, whether you can provide $5 a month, $10 a month, $50 a month, all of it is important, and all of it goes towards making sure that KBOO continues bringing you the kind of programming that you say that you want. So this is the time for you to do it. We do need $50 to achieve our goal for this hour. Pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. Do it now. We want your support. We want your help. 877-500-5266. And there you go. Thank you very much.
That's right. Do it now. We need your help. We need your support. This is your chance. We're here bringing it to you. We need that feedback, folks. Like Dan said, the number is 877-500-5266. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of this community. And that's what we've got for tonight.
Join us this Wednesday, October 16th, from 9 a.m. to noon, for a special program on the politics of austerity.
Austerity is harm. It's the equivalent of leeches for medicine. You might think you're doing some good, but all you're doing is weakening the patient.
Featuring Mark Blythe, author of Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea, Robert Kuttner, author of Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity, Sanjay Basu, author of The Body Economic, Why Austerity Kills, and Ellen Brown, author of The Public Bank Solution, From Austerity to Prosperity. That's Wednesday, October 16th from 9 a.m. to noon for our Austerity Special right here on KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
Hi there, welcome to Out Loud, KBOO's queer news and culture radio show. I'm Alan. We have a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about Two-Spirit folk and the Native American communities. Thanks for listening to Out Loud. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by the KBOO Foundation members and a grant from McMinnmans. McMinnmans invites Out Loud listeners to the Pearly Gates, the newest